This week on Airbnb Update, we discuss patch notes including loot share, porters for mining, and a change to stone spirits. Also, we summarize the Farmhands content showcase and break down the internet's news of the week that Jagex could be for sale once more. This is RSBNB Update, episode 709, recorded Thursday, January 31st, 2019. Stay calm and keep RuneScape. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us once again for another episode of RSBNB Update. Just Tannis and myself sitting in this week.
How's it going, Shane?
Good. We had our lovely monthly bit recorded yesterday regarding the future of RuneScape. Pernasius joined us for that, and that was good fun. And we came around. We started off with some big question marks, and I think we ultimately resolved them at the end, didn't we?
Yeah. I really, really enjoyed that monthly bit. That's definitely one of my favorites, and hope you guys give it a listen. Where can they find that one out,
well,
Shane?
You head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/rsbnb. You can access that and the entire back catalog for as little as a buck a month, but we'll talk more about that after the fact. And let's just dive into this patch week this week. I think this is an interesting patch week. It wasn't themed like the previous combat week, but still some pretty substantial changes here in this one. So,
are you mean you didn't see the ninja week coming?
No.
Yeah, I didn't either. That's because it's ninja.
Of course. Oh, I don't know. I never really was much into those Japanese ninja type fighting movies and whatnot, or even the games and whatnot. And I think you're into those fighting games too, aren't you? Those ninja fighting games.
So, yep.
We're gonna dive right in, and one of the first ones that they brought in, and this one helps streamers and pretty much anyone who has a full friends chat from time to time, and that's that if you're going for a boss mass and you're wanting to run a boss mass previously, in order to have loot share or coin share active in your friends chat, you would have to have the person added to your friends list. But now there is an anyone option so that anyone can just join your chat, join your instance, and away you guys go. You can coin share on whatever it is you guys are ultimately fighting along the day. And I know this is one that's going to benefit streamers, and this would definitely helped us back in the day of the RSBNB boss takedown events. So,
yeah, that was a really cool change. Might be my favorite this week, actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at some of the other ones then in the patch notes. Camel Warrior, Mirages, and Glaciites will now have the correct Slayer Helmet buffs applied to them when the summoners are the player's Slayer target. Though, as before, the summons will not give Slayer XP or reduce Slayer count. So basically what this means is that if you're getting Slayer buffs, it won't just apply to the primary creature, but it'll also apply to the to its spawnlings, let's just say. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
Well, and, that's cool.
And that's going to help with the Glaciites, too, because, you know, those Glaciites can be really tricky to kill sometimes. So. That's a good one in that regard. And I think they could have probably, with this, there's going to be extra questions that were going to come up about the Masterwork armor and whatnot. And why couldn't something similar be applied to Masterwork? But of course, with Masterwork, everything is coming into you, whereas in this case, it's all coming off of one creature, so it's easier to find. So hence why doing such a fix for Masterwork wouldn't have worked in this case.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Next up, players are going to be provided with some elemental runes when fighting the Dagonoth Mother 2 in the Dominion Tower. Of course, remember, in that quest fight, you would have to fire the correct rune at it based on the spell and the color that it was. How were those colors for you back in the day?
Yeah, it's real fun. Keep throwing a spell until you find one that hurts it.
Well,
you gotta keep going.
You got a 1 in 4 chance to get it right then.
Yep.
Analyze and disassemble will no longer put the player into a combat stance and scull them when used on another player in the wilderness.
Oh, sneaky, sneaky.
Yeah, I don't know why you would do that, but I guess that's a good protection to have in place. Players can now reliably cue abilities while they are currently channeling an ability, such as Concentrated Blast. So basically what this means, for those who don't do too much combat, is that when you're doing something like Concentrated Blast, your character is focused on that carrying out that one ability, but now you can press your next ability and have that fire off when Concentrated Blast is done. And previously that would break Concentrated Blast because it was channeled, which meant that it could not be interrupted. So now we also have some fixes for mining and smithing still this week. You know, these things are slowly but surely ramping down to the point where they're just little fixes here and there, and that's good. That really shows what a powerful release that was. But this week, players may now augment their trimmed and custom-fit masterwork armor at any charge percentage, and this can be done at any invention workbench. And, you know, there was questions about this in the initial release period and whatnot, but regardless of the charge percentage, even if it's not 100%, you can finally augment it, as per usual. Well, so
that is...
That's a very good change.
Relief,
yeah, because you don't want to have to... waste money repairing a set to have it at 100, right?
No. Don't barge around RuneScape.
Yep, that's what they do.
Bad things happen.
That's what they do. Max has heard about the mining and smithing rework, and he is now using the updated hammer, no longer flails madly at the space where his anvil used to be. Sea Salt and Elias Sea Salt are no longer sent to the bank by the sign of the porter, and the sign of the porter affects when mined. And when mining with porters, if the mined resource can be stored in the metal bank, it'll be deposited into your metal bank instead of your actual bank.
That's a good one too, man. I don't know. That one, that's a good one too.
You know, I really never used porters before.
Oh, I bet you are now, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Grace of the Elves.
Uh-huh. We'll get there. Yeah. We'll get there. So, you know, it basically makes the ore box redundant, but of course you'll still carry your ore box because you don't want to use your porter charges unnecessarily. But, you know, just load up on those porters and away you go for that Dark Animica mining session. So,
you know, with your ore box, all that means is you can get 640 ore at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, before you have to bank.
Though, you know, those Dark Animicas were going for 4K GP yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, you told me. And
it's
where this goes.
Yeah. And you know, that's still 2.4 mil if you did 600 in that. So and we know there's lots of people who are mining it. So I'm not entirely sure that it's an issue with the mining skill per se or the stone spirits, because we know that light animica and dark animica are relatively the same when it comes to their value, and we'll get to why that's an issue later on in the patch notes. But continuing on, congealed blood can now be used to overcharge Draken's medallion up from a cap of the previous 10. It can now hold a maximum of 25,000 charges.
That's awesome.
And Draken's medallion is the one that lets you teleport around the swamp area, like Berg de Rot, Mire Ditch, the Vampire Castle, the Temple Trekking minigame, so on and so forth. So,
yeah. And even though you can pretty much teleport to where you recharge it, like right there, it's still kind of cool to not have to do it every 10 times.
Right. And plus, I mean, you could also just use the lodestone to go to Caniphus, because anything on that side of the river doesn't consume a charge.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. Now, Grace of the Elves, new option when you're wearing it called Toggle Porter, which allows you to disable or enable the porter functionality.
This is awesome. When I first, the first time I did Hattie and Scully this year, I had my Grace of Ales on, and I could not figure out. I'm like, where are the logs? Like, what's going on? Why can't I put logs on the fire? Because I was trying to get Scallion. I couldn't figure it out. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. It's this damn Grace of the Elves. I'd take it off.
Yeah. So this new option, you just right-click on it when you're wearing it, and it'll say stored sign of the port of charges disabled if it is disabled. So you just hover over it to see its current status. So, and, you know, this is precisely why when I got Grace of the Elves, I never loaded it up with the porter charges, because, you know, I go herb farming, right? And when it comes to herb farming, I like having all my herbs in my inventory because it lets me keep count, because I do keep a record of what my record herb run is. And if they just go to the bank, I can't keep track of that. So that's okay. That's why I never loaded them up on that to begin with. But now I see no reason not to have it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just convenient.
Indeed. All right. So next up on the patch notes, there is one other little thing before we move into the drop table reworks that we want to mention here with this. And it's all the way down at the bottom here. Clan overseers can now set or modify a clan login message. Previously, it only used to be deputy owners or the silver key. Now the bronze key can do it as well. So...
Okay.
We had a bit of an issue with that, but thankfully our ranking structure changed that it wasn't a big deal going forward with that. So, and then just a couple of little changes on mobile, you know, fixing PC terminology when it came to the tool belt interface, as well as making it so that the backpack and other side panel interfaces don't overlap and action bars will take priority over them. So... All right, okay. So drop table changes, which is, of course, something that we talked about a lot last week, and there's some concern about going into on the show here. So if you look at the way Stone Spirits were going, there's lots of Rune Stone Spirits coming into game, and in general, the consensus was that, you know, hey, we don't like Rune Stone Spirits. It's a tier 70 item. There definitely should be something better for that going forward. And while we have that this week, and that if you're fighting the Queen Black Dragon, Runestone Spirits will now become Orichalcite or Dracolith Stone Spirits. And if you get Adamant or Coal from the Queen Black Dragon, you will get Luminite or Rune Stone Spirits instead. So that's on the mid-level ores there. I think that's also important, especially in the Queen Black Dragon side, that we don't have Coal Stone Spirits dropping because there's already too much coal in game, right?
Yeah, and I've actually get a lot of Coal Stone Spirit drops. So, I mean, not from her, but just right. In general.
So there you go. God Wars Dungeon 2, Rune Stone Spirits are converted to Necrite and Phasmatite Stone Spirits. And Coal Stone Spirits are converted to Luminite Stone Spirits and not Rune Stone Spirits, which makes sense because Luminite is the new ore, and that's going to be the one that is going to be less prevalent in the game right now. So, now coming to Solak, when Solak dropped Rune Stone Spirits before, it will now give you Bane or Light Animica Stone Spirits.
Hmm.
And we were concerned about this last week. And, you know, I did some chatting with David on this in regards to how common the Runestone Spirits used to be. And he said it was about, you know, one in five-ish, give or take. So, I mean, it's not something you're going to be getting that often. But I think when it came down to it, they made a good choice in that it wasn't just pure Animica Stone Spirits that were coming out. It was a chance between either Bane or Light Animica. And Dark Animica is completely left off the board here. So,
yeah, I mean, it's thank God for small victories. I still think it was too early to do something like that. Because now we're not going to get I don't feel like you're going to get an accurate picture of what the ore... it's worth, because we never gotten to the point where
it's one in 15.
Okay. But we never got to where people were settled in and the people that were going to be mining were going to be mining, so we knew what the price of the ore was going to be. Now with the stone spirits, like, I don't know. I mean, that's like a free ore every time it goes off, right? Every time you use one.
Right.
So it's...
And of course, there's still the thing that people need to go out and mine it themselves, too. So... That can have an impact on it. And, you know, as we've been talking about, too, with the double XP weekend coming in, just under 4 weeks, I think we're not going to have a true picture of what's happening with the economy until things calm down after that double XP weekend. So
yeah, and now the problem is you can't go back now. I mean, now you've chosen that, and it's here.
Yeah. And, you know, I think... as long as Dark Animica doesn't have a stone spirit that is dropped too frequently, we'll probably be okay. That's my thinking on it.
Yeah, I mean, I hope not. You know, yeah, I hope so. It'll be cool.
And finally, for next, coal stone spirits are changed to Luminite stone spirits. So, not too
that
much.
One's to, fair. Yeah,
that,
yeah,
that one's fine. Okie dokie. So that's pretty much it for the patch notes this week. And as we mentioned, we will be watching this as we go through the month and double XP weekend and what happens after that. Because as you know, when we were talking about the mining and smithing rework initially, one of our key aspects was that, hey, we ought to get these things off the drop table. And that was one of the things that we advocated the most for, along with smithable armor, because, you know, it's just not right to have primary resources like this dropped from PVM and Slayer and whatnot. And, you know, thinking about it too, Slayer also probably took a bigger hit than PVM on this, just because of the amount of coal and addy and whatnot that you would get coming in from certain Slayer tasks.
Confirmed. 100%.
Yeah,
been doing that for the last week or so, and it definitely... I think the Slayer skill took a much bigger hit than the high level PVM stuff, but that's okay. I mean, you know, it's
the way it's supposed to be.
It needed, you know, everyone has to take a little bit of the medicine. You know, it's for the health of the game.
It's all about the revamp and whatnot, and. You know, I'll talk about this a bit later, but I honestly think that they are in a position at Jagex where they can undertake a larger update that takes more goodwill than mining and smithing did after they were able to pull this off. So,
you know,
looking at future drop tables for wood and maybe even seeds might be an option too. So anyways, let's talk a bit about the live stream then, shall we, eh?
All right.
So this live stream was interesting to us because, you know, we often talk about live streams and that, okay, it's another live stream. There's six people on the couch. There's lots of talking back and forth. And this one's actually showcasing content that is going to be coming out in a few days. It's preparing the players for it, which is a good thing to do in regards to setting expectations. And, you know, it was concise, it was on time, and it was prompt. And I very much prefer this more condensed version of a live stream. It's just easier to watch and easier to get more information out of. I think in this one, they did more in 40 minutes than sometimes they do in their hour and 20-minute ones. That was my sense. I don't know if you agree with that.
No, I do agree with that. I agree with that completely. And the other thing that they did a really good job with was this wasn't like a look midway through the development of Farmhands. This was, hey, this is coming out Monday. This is what it looks like. Here's kind of a heads up sneak peek. It's done. And that's, I think, a much, much better way to present the content like that.
I completely agree with that. And talking about Farmhands, one of the things that you can purchase is a status icon, so you'll be able to see exactly for purchasing with 1.5K beans whether your animal is diseased or if it's ready to be harvested. I don't know why they chose the sickle. It's a sickle icon if it's ready to be harvested.
Well, that's what you use to harvest, right?
I mean, I guess.
Not usually animal, but I mean.
Okay. So that's one thing you can get from this update. Also, the actual farmhands, there's going to be up to 3 farmhands per pen that you can have going on. There's a 2 bean use cost in the small pen, 5 bean use cost in the medium pen, and 10 for large pens. And they're assigned on a per animal basis. So it's not this, though, you assign it to the entire pen and you get a benefit. You can choose which animals you want to have focused on. And there's various different types of farmhands as well. The first ones are babysitters, and these prevent animals from growing past adolescent stage, which is, of course, where you want them if you're aiming to harvest beans. And, you know, that's good. If you don't want to go to your farm every day or you need to take a break for some reason, you don't want those dragons to grow up past adolescent and lose the extra bean count from them. So that's what that one's for. There's also a trapper that'll go out and retrieve 1 random unchecked animal. This costs 5K beans. And, you know, this one I think could be interesting to play around with because when you think about it, how long did we spend in that first week, Tanis, killing animals to try and get the eggs?
Yeah, and that's what I'm wondering. Like, how much are those probably worth at this point? Because I would think it's really common. I mean, everyone that has a farm would be able to provide.
Yeah, and plus, you know, you pop them in a breeding pen, they can provide the eggs to you. So, it's not too much of a ask anymore. And, you know, it's also a good thing for Iron Man too, because you get started with some basic animals, because, you know, they can't go out and kill dragons, obviously, to get eggs, and they can't trade with people, right? And they don't have a GE. So where are Iron Man supposed to get dragons?
Yeah. I guess that's probably a good thing for the Iron Man.
That's the idea behind this. There's also a collector that'll store animals from the breeding pen into their unchecked versions. This one costs 2,500 beans. So the idea behind it is your breeding pen just works as a breeding pen, and every time they make a new egg, it takes it away and stores it for you. So those are the 3 farm hens. Hands, not hens. You can already get hens in the player-owned farm. But there's also the Storm Barn, which is 15K for the first version and 10K for the next version. And what this is effectively a bank expansion for animals. You don't need to store animals anymore in your bank.
It's like a workaround for a rework.
Yeah, you can store up to 30 animals in this place.
Yeah, I remember we had a listener question a while back about this.
And we did.
It wasn't something that I had ran into.
Yeah,
but,
same, because most of my stuff is just there.
Yeah, but I was like, wow, this is good. That's the first thing I thought of. I was like, all right.
So, you can build that, and it's directly. It's basically looks like it's the basement right next to the bank chest at the farm. So. There's that. There's also Baby Shakes, which is a troll-type creature that will take any animal and effectively eat it, and it will give you 10% of the base bean value. So this is a way of disposing of animals and getting some kind of beans from them.
Baby Shakes?
Yep, that's what they're calling it.
That's going to get changed.
Why? Explain.
Baby Shakes. That's... they're gonna hear about that. Dude, watch. That's probably not good. Shake and baby should never be in the same sentence.
Oh, okay. Well, its name changes after you feed it an animal, because it, of course, is a troll and it names itself whatever it eats. So it's only named that for the first one.
I still can't believe that. Maybe, is that not like what they say in the UK? Like, I don't know, man. That's weird. That's really weird that they would
maybe
come up with that.
I don't know. I have no idea. So, all right. Continuing on with that, there's more beans when you trade in a shiny. 10% if you have a matching breed or trait. 25% more if you have both the breed and the trait as well. So, this can allow you to actually have a reason to keep aiming for those shiny animals past just, you know, completing the breeding log, which makes sense, I think. Because after the elder dragons came along, I got like three of those elder dragon eggs. So, or sorry, royal dragons.
Royals, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't started breeding on that, kind of like trying to get that stuff on. I don't even think I have multiple traits yet.
Yeah, your best bet is to just get two dragons with three trait slots and then just continue re-rolling them until you have the three breath traits and then the three sparkling traits spread between them. So the six traits total, and then you don't need to have the breath traits on the same one, and you don't need to have the breed shiny percentage ones on the same one either. So that's the way I did it. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. As for getting shiny zygomites, I have no idea. I've been trying to do that, but no luck on that one yet. And finally, there's an old MC title. I'm not exactly sure what that stands for, but if you complete the breeding log, you get this title. So that's the second title you can get from the farm, in addition to, of course, the Master Farmer. So.
All right.
And, of course, budget quality of life fixes in well that came out of this update.
Are you the Master Farmer now, Shane?
Yes, I am. I am. I actually, it was actually enough for me to move off of the Ultimate Quester, which was my title, because, you know, I always have the questing cape, but I also had the Master Farmer cape. So I, of course, didn't want to give one of those up, right? So I finally gave one of those up and went all farming. So.
There you go.
Then after that, they invited Mod Stew to the stream to showcase some of the work that's been done on the new quest list, which has started off as a game jam project. And this will be released when this next quest. I don't know if it's the next quest, but it's a quest that they have waiting for release called Chef's Assistant, basically a sequel to Cook's Assistant that deals with cheesecake this time around. They said no ETA. But with this, you'll also get a bunch of quality of life changes for the quest list, including the ability to sort by year the quest was released, the area the quest takes place in, its combat difficulty, which of course is referring to the combat level of the critters that you'll fight in the quest, the series, so Elf, Fremenic, so on and so forth. And, of course, timeline. And the idea behind the timeline view is that it's started off to make it so that these are the quests you do when you're first starting out in RuneScape, and this is what you do when you're an effective master in the game. It's designed to show kind of a progression as to how your character develops over time. So one of them is, for example, called Heroic. Another one is called Legendary, which, you know, would be in the Legends era, and so on and so forth. So these are all different ways that you'll be able to sort the quest list.
So given, like, I don't know if this is exactly the same, but what, you know, it's been said on the show in the past about the interface, is this an improvement to that, or what's your opinion on that, Shane?
Well, you know, it still uses the same base default adventures menu for the quest, but they also did add cross-linking into it. So if you have, and you're looking at a quest that says that you need the Throne of Miscellany as a requirement, you can click on the Throne of Miscellany and it will take you to that quest. So you can effectively navigate, you know, click on Sliske's Endgame, for example, and navigate all the way back to find the quest that you need to complete to work on that. So it's good in that regard. It still sticks within the core adventurers UI of it. And, you know, based on what we've been talking about recently, I would say that the quest tab of the adventures box is actually a fairly well-done, concise UI at this point, because you have the quest list, then you have a expansion panel that shows more information when you click on one of the quests. So I actually think that tab is fairly well designed. I can't speak too much about the other ones on there. But with these improvements, yeah, it's pretty good.
I like the thing that I really like about these improvements is, like, if you're looking at, like, how you get into Prif, it'll give you, you know,
precisely
all of the quests that you need to do in that quest line.
And you can, you know, with that, you can sort it by release date, or you could even sort it by timeline if you want to play it chronologically in RS, or you can just go to the series view and start working your way down the elf quest series. So definitely some good changes with that, and this will hook into all quests, of course, in the past and going into the future. And that was pretty much the live stream for this week.
Yeah.
Not too
like
much
you said, it was concise.
And we made it even more concise here. So yeah. I would very much appreciate these live streams going forward if they could be as concise as this one.
Yeah. Oh. And, you know, and Mahjong, he always does a really good job of explaining things, I think, too.
Yeah, and he's got a buzz cut now.
Is that what you call that?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
What you call that?
All right. Shawnee. So this next piece of news is one that, you know, we talked about on the monthly bit, but, you know, there's lots of stuff going on around the internet in regards to this news story. And the initial headline was that report, Jagex's Chinese overlord looking to sell all or part of its stake. Now, of course, we know that we've been through this before. We know we've been through sales before of the company. And to summarize this up, the whole reason this is happening because on January 23rd, Fukong Interactive, which is the company that owns Jagex, issued a regulatory statement to advise the Chinese financial market that it's planning a major reorganization and is considering the sale of assets with the partial or full sale of Jagex as a potential option. And the reason they're looking at this is because Fukong lost $69.6 million in the first half of 2018. Now, compare this to Jagex's massive year last year, up with 43.5 million British pounds worth of profit, and that's an increase over 14.7 million pounds of profit from the previous year. So that's a pretty big jump for Jagex in that regard. So obviously they're doing fine. It's just the parent company that needs to do some restructuring. And, you know, as with most stuff relating to this, took the internet by storm, and Mod JD replied to the folks on Reddit who were asking about this. He said, whatever the outcome of Fukong's restructure, it won't change how you play RuneScape or old school, and it doesn't affect our plans as we continue to invest and grow in Jagex, RuneScape, and old school, building on our record-breaking years and ensuring we bring you all the new content and updates we have in the works, in addition to more quality-of-life improvements. So there we have it. In general, I think the sentiment after this is keep calm and keep playing RuneScape.
Yeah, don't freak out. You know, when they were initially sold to Fukong, I was... that made me nervous. And now that we've been through that...
anytime you have a Chinese mining company come in,
it was,
right?
It was a little, you know, I was a little apprehensive. But, I mean, when you really think about it, did we notice a difference really at all? And I would argue not really. It didn't change my gameplay at all. So, no reason to think it wouldn't be the same result this time.
Yeah. And, you know, we had a good discussion about this on the future on our monthly bit. And basically to summarize it, yeah, I mean, Fukong could, you know, say that we're putting this company public and people could purchase shares in Jagex, or it just might get sold to a different gaming company, or who knows what it could even be sold to someone looking to diversify their company holdings as well. So regardless of what happens, not much is going to change going forward. And I think if anything changes, it'll just be the owners at the top. So, and, you know, we also predicted this. We predicted this last year when we were talking about where Jagex can go, because anytime you have a company like Jagex or even gaming companies in general, and they have huge profits, or companies in general, I should say, that's a sign to the market, and I caught on to this sign, is that if you're doing things and you're taking actions to effectively grow your profits by such huge amounts as we saw here, you're aiming at shopping the company on the market. That's as simple as it gets. You know, you come in, you do something with the company, you make a bit of money in the process, and you sell it off again. So that's pretty much the general order of things here, and after reading the last financial report, I anticipated something like this was going to be happening. And there's also – go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah. Could you imagine, though, if if the players could buy, like if it was ever public in a way that we could buy shares and the players would own the game.
Yeah.
The company. Yeah. How empowering would that be?
Well, I mean, it would certainly give a whole new dimension to the stuff that they do with old school, right?
Ah, man, that just, it's like a socialist utopia, right? If we all had a little piece and we were in our game. I'm just kidding. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Well, it's a good thing we're not still on camera shows. Your face is probably all red right about now.
Oh, no, not at all.
It would be cool, though. I would love to have a share.
Yeah, and so, you know, I would never do that for a company that I am providing commentary on and talking about, because I think that provides a whole new discussion about, you know, are the people on here giving investment advice? Are they trying to say what they're wanting to say to make the stock price go up and whatnot? So that would throw a whole new wrench into doing this podcast if we had someone who is a potential shareholder on the show.
See, that, and that's funny because like the financial end of it never really crossed my mind. Like I was thinking more of like, you know, you would own it. Like it was,
yeah.
You could stop, you know, really and, bad stuff, or
and see that's the thing I like about the podcast is that, you know, we're honest with what we do, and we make our allegiances and alliances clear on that. And you know, if money starts to be involved, then that's a whole other question in itself. So,
yeah.
Do we think this had anything to do with the delay of mobile?
I think in a roundabout way, just because wasn't there rumors that China wasn't issuing any more?
Yeah, licenses.
Game licenses. So, I mean, that's my thoughts is since they're not issuing any more, they're not going to get mobile into that market. Might as well sell now.
And I know Parnassius also made the argument that, you know, it might not have anything to do with the mobile delay because, in general, mobile games are seen as an avenue to get Western games into China, but also games in the Chinese market are completely different in that, you know, you can literally go into any game inside China and you just, you know, pay some money and you can get max stats or you can get something that's hilariously overpowered and whatnot. So it would likely have to be a different version as well in that regard. But hey, I mean, if they own the IP or the IP behind it, it would certainly give them the ability to try and do something on that. Though what tangentially RuneScape has been or hasn't been successful before is a whole other topic in itself, which we really don't have time for right now. So,
luckily, there is a place where you can find that.
Yeah, there is a whole discussion on the future of RuneScape, as we mentioned at the top of the show. If you head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/rsbnb, you can find that. And, you know, before we go too far into that, I'll just take a moment to give some thanks to our Patreon supporters for this episode, Kyle, Brock H., Seth W., and Zez. Thank you guys for your wonderful support of this podcast and, you know, what we do here on the show certainly wouldn't be possible without your support. So thank you very much for supporting our show. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
But anyways, if you want access to that discussion about the future of RuneScape, you want access to it right now, patreon.com/rsbnb. For as little as $1 a month, you can get started. And at that price, you get access to all of our monthly bits, as well as early access to the show notes, as well as the ability to join in our roundtable discussions when we have them. And you help us fund the cost for hosting and production of RSBNB Update. And if you want to step it up to $3 a month, you'll get a special VIP rank on Discord, as well as high-quality stereo AAC versions of the podcast in addition to everything else. And at $5 a month, you'll get a shout-out on the podcast every week, including also exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show at the end of the year. And, you know, we've been talking about this other show that we did a little bit, the monthly bit, pun not intended there, about the future of RuneScape, but that's our bonus show that we do. And we're also working towards doing Inside RSB&B Update each and every month. That'll include interviews with our hosts and production team, as well as learning how the podcast comes together. And if we reach $50 a month, we'll do the RSB&B Update Roundtable on the first Saturday of each month, where you can join us in Discord for a discussion on everything and anything related to RuneScape. This will, of course, be streamed live and later published, and Patreon supporters are encouraged to join in on this. And if we reach $99 a month, we'll have movie night in the RSB&B Discord with the both of us, including, probably Star Trek movies. So all of this and more can be found at patreon.com/RSB&B. Thank you guys for your support. All right, let's move on to our question. We got a question from Tycho this week, or two questions rather. So let's go. Okay.
All right.
February is here tomorrow, and with that starts the most dangerous month here in the Nordic lands. No, it's not wild mooses, bears, or surströmming that's threatening our everyday lives, but the influenza. As the snow slowly melts away in the southern parts, everyone knows that a cold bed with a hot fever awaits us all. And to make it even worse, it's not an enemy you can go against with a battle axe and a shield. So my questions today are, one, do you all consider yourselves to have a healthy and strong body? And two, what are your strategies against the microscopic armies that raid and plunder your internal cells until everything is burned to the ground? I'm writing this as I see a red sunrise in the horizon, knowing I will not be spared this year. May the mitochondrians be with you, Shane. Tycho Alpha, the Nordic Lads. Yeah, you know, it's always a constant battle to stay healthy and whatnot, especially in the winter season, you know, when it comes to the flu and whatnot. So, you know, I am fortunate that I do manage to stay pretty healthy as well. And, you know, I think it all ultimately comes down. I think the biggest and best thing a person can do to stay healthy is to wash your hands frequently.
Yeah, that's definitely
and
it.
I don't have any tips beyond that, and it works.
Get your flu shots, right? I didn't get mine yet this year, and probably going to pay for that. But normally, we always get our flu shots every year.
I don't do that.
Yeah, see, we do. We always get them when my daughter gets hers. And last year, she hung from a door hanger as the nurse tried to give her one. Oh. Wasn't a pretty. Maybe that's why we haven't gotten them this year yet. No, but yeah, strong believer in the flu shots. It's not 100%, but it's better than nothing. And also, if you have small children when they get home from school, just give them lots of love and kisses and all that nasty school germs that they bring home. Just get it all over your face, and it'll make your body strong eventually. Because you know what? I mean, right? You need a little bit of something to keep your immune system tip top fighting condition.
Yeah.
You know.
And you know, I think, you know, if we're gonna just expand on this and talk remedies a bit as well. I know last time I had it, the things that only really seemed to help, and I don't know if what the equivalent would be in other countries, but there's something called a Ricola cough drop with cough syrup in them. And that was the only thing that could ease the cough, so to speak. Last time I ended up with a respiratory thing.
Isn't that one of Tycho's like relatives up there with the horn? Ricola! Like,
it could very well be. I have no idea. Right? I thought they were Swiss.
Same thing, right? I mean, it's cold, snowy. I don't know.
I also like my tea, of course. And you know, tea, whether or not you're sick, it's something I have daily as well. I don't have black tea too often, but it just helps with the airways and stuff too. So
see, I like tea, especially with a sore throat. But it's not my daily thing. I gotta hit the coffee, man. I need something with some oomph. No, it's Americans in our coffee.
And you know, I also think, I think this is also a Canadian thing only. We have this drug here called Cold FX. It's based on, you know, natural ginseng stuff, ginger, and so on and so forth. It reduces the severity of colds. And if you catch the flu early enough, it can help reduce the severity of the symptoms that come with that as well. And once again, this is a Canadian thing only, so I don't think you can – I don't think you guys have that in the U.S. or elsewhere, but it's just an over-the-counter thing. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be nice.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's 100% natural, but I haven't figured out whether it's a placebo or if it's actually working. So,
what's it called, Shane?
Cold FX.
Oh, Cold FX. Do we need to get like a Cold FX Buyers Club going on here? Pipeline.
I don't know if they Canada. Would. I don't know if they would let you import such a thing like that. So, because I mean, it has a .ca on it. I'm not entirely sure. If it would be available in the U.S., but those are pretty much my tips on that. So,
okay. And the million-dollar question: do you know what a mitochondrion is?
I don't. I'm going to Google.
You don't?
No. What is it?
It was an inside joke, apparently.
Oh, it's a Star Wars joke.
Yes.
I didn't think I could watch Star Wars.
The Force is not strong with this one.
Aye, aye, aye. All right. Well, I think we can move on to tech news then, hey?
Yeah. Okay. Some interesting tech news this week, right?
Yeah, very much so, because there's a bug in iOS, or was a bug in iOS, that if you were receiving a FaceTime call, or rather were making a FaceTime call, and you swiped up and you wanted to add another person, and you added your own phone number to the call, to the group FaceTime call, it would basically cause the connection to be prematurely activated in and on your phone, and you would be able to hear and see the other person before they picked up.
That's scary. Wonder how many people got caught doing bad shit with that. Oops.
I mean, it practically turns every iOS device into a spy device that you're looking at anyone that you want to call. So,
do you ever think these things are actually known by certain agencies and we just happen to find out about it when they're done with it or been compromised?
Not ones that are so far out there like this one, I would say. But there have been other documented cases where some anonymous folks have been talking about bugs, you know, months before they were actually reported to Microsoft or Google. And then Google wondered why people were talking about them 6 months before, but no one reported them. And it's safe to assume that there were some state actors at play.
That's kind of what I was wondering. Well, that's bad.
Yeah.
It
doesn't get any worse than this, because it ultimately led to Apple disabling the FaceTime group servers, because it was the group calls that were the problem on this. So Apple will be fixing an update running in for devices for the next iOS update when that ships. And that's supposed to ship later this week. So by the time you guys are hearing this, this should be patched. So they basically fixed it on the server end by disabling the group calls. But then there was a bit more of a following on the actual hardware, or rather the software, that needed to be fixed. So with that being said, this is going to be fixed in a near future update on Apple's iOS platform. So yeah, pretty big,
Yeah.
Next up, Facebook, Google, once again in the news, You hear about this one?
But it's not good news.
No, it's not. Facebook paid a bunch of teenagers to install a VPN, or virtual private network, that would spy on them.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Facebook was paying people to install the Facebook Research VPN that would basically suck in a person's phone and web activity. And the idea behind this is that they wanted a bunch of people who were in a research group, and they would basically use this to build a profile of what certain folks on the internet would look like, so they can get basically unencumbered data on this. And it's been reported that since 2016, Facebook was paying users aged between 13 and 35 up to $20 a month plus referral fees to sell their privacy by installing this app on iOS or Android. And Facebook even wanted to see people's Amazon order history. So you can pretty much see what was going on with this. So
I can definitely see there's going to be two sides on this. Like, I mean, they were paid. They knew it, right? Like,
yep.
They, you know, knowingly were selling their, you know, information. But at the same time, I think it's time for some regulations. We have to do something. Every week we get a story. Like, I mean, that's a little bit different, but I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, and you know, Google was also in with this as well. Google's app was called ScreenWise Meter, and its idea behind it was that they would have people install this on their phone, and it would look at what they were using on their devices and send the data to Google. And just like Facebook, they were paid. So Google did it as well. And, you know, there's the interesting side of this that Apple shut down both the Facebook app that was doing this and the Google app because – not because they didn't agree with what was happening or because they want to go against Facebook and Google, but because the way that these two companies, Facebook and Google, went around this was by using their enterprise certificates to install the app. Now, what this means is that every time you install an app on your iOS device, you are communicating with the App Store, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every application developer on the App Store has to generate unique, secure, cryptographic certificates that they then upload to Apple, and those are embedded in your applications that you sell on the App Store. And the idea behind this is that it's used to basically say that, hey, this app is legit. It's coming from Apple. It was built by this developer, and they have effectively put their seal of approval on it. So that's what happens when you go through the App Store on iOS. But there is a different kind of certificate called an Enterprise Installation Certificate that can be created on the Apple and iOS side, and presumably the Google side as well. And what that lets people do is it lets organizations, like large organizations like Google or IBM or just imagine any organization out there, it basically lets them install these applications en masse on their network and on their employees' phone devices without having to go through the entire App Store process. So that's this enterprise certificate. It's only meant to be used internally, and that's the route that Apple, or rather Facebook and Google, were taking to install these apps, is they were giving people on the outside their enterprise certificates to install these apps. That way then they could have a fully featured app, but not have it be within the App Store and still get all the features of it. So what Apple did in this regard is they shut down the certificates for both Facebook and Google on this regard, and they're working with both Facebook and Google to make sure that they won't be using this certificate for this again. That's what Apple's doing. So,
well,
even though they paid, Google and Facebook paid these people, Apple's still saying, no, you can't do this on our platform.
Well, that's probably a good thing, because I'm wondering if in a couple weeks we're going to find out that it wasn't it wasn't just that people were paid for this, but everybody that they contacted or that they knew somehow was being monitored as well. Because we've seen that story with Facebook before.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going to see entire chains of text messages and iMessages going out.
Yeah, no. Because now you're dealing with someone that didn't consent. You know what I mean? That's – no.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you're already on Facebook, they have that. But that you gave this thing permission to monitor all your traffic coming out of your phone. And I think iMessages are encrypted on the device, so they might not have access to iMessages. But I'm not 100% sure on that. But it's a safe bet that any internet traffic that came out of your device, whether or not it was encrypted, these companies could access.
Scary stuff.
So. Yeah, and you know, it raises more questions about who you want to trust, because on one hand you have Facebook and Google doing this, but on the other hand you have this bug in FaceTime that's turning iPhones into spying devices.
Yeah, and these are the people that are usually – like Apple is usually pretty good with this stuff, you know. And Google – let's face it, Google knows everything about everyone anyway. They're kind of like the Oracle or some shit. There's nothing you can do about that. That ship sailed. But Facebook is the last people you want to have any of this. I mean, their track record is just atrocious.
Yeah, and I mean, at some point, you also have to chat with the people who consented to do this.
Yeah, I mean, they're part of the problem, but I'm... You know, I don't think it's fair. Like, you, just because you consented and you're getting paid, now everything that I've ever said to you, and I don't even know it, is now being monitored by Facebook? Nah. That's not good.
Yeah, and, you know, it just underscores the need for more encryption on device and ensuring that things don't leave your device unencrypted all over the internet.
Yep.
So, actually, yeah, thinking about it, iMessages are encrypted when they leave. So if you have that little blue blob in your iMessage, you're probably good. But, I mean, hey, the app could have requested access to your messages too. So who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Because you can have, you know, you can have effectively apps in iMessage too that can see your messages. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, if it's not reading your messages, it's turning itself on. I mean, yeah, that's fun. Can you imagine you were trying to, like, not answer the call?
Oh, yeah, and that's actually one of the things that activated is if you press the power button to dismiss the call, that would actually, in some cases, turn on the microphone.
Oh, man. I just can't imagine. It's probably not good.
Yeah, it's... All right. Next piece of tech news is talking about EA in Belgium, and in particular regarding FIFA points for their FIFA EA Sports game. You know, we've been talking a lot about microtransactions in the past and whatnot, and in particular Belgium, how Belgium has decided to put their foot down when it comes to anything that remotely resembles gambling. So EA has issued this bulletin regarding FIFA points in Belgium, and they say, after further discussions with Belgian authorities, we have decided to stop offering FIFA points for sale in Belgium. We're working towards making these changes effective in our FIFA console and PC games by January 31st of 2019, and this means that players in Belgium will not be able to purchase points to obtain FIFA Ultimate Team packs. Players can still access Ultimate Team and play with their existing players, and all content in the game can be earned through gameplay, as has always been the case, and players can continue to use coins and the in-game transfer market. Any players in Belgium that have existing FIFA points in their account can continue to use them, but they will not be able to purchase more. And they say they seek to bring choice, fairness, and value and fun to our players in all games. In addition to providing players with options in how to play, we include pack probabilities in our games for the transparencies of players and want them to make informed content choices. While we are taking this action, we do not agree with the Belgian authorities' interpretation of the law and will continue to seek more clarity on the matter as we go forward. This impact of this change to FIFA Ultimate Team in Belgium is not material to our financial performance.
Hmm. Well, if it's not material to their financial performance, why would they care?
Because, as with anything goes, more profit is always better.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is a an interesting benchmark because over the Christmas break, World of Tanks, which is a game developed by folks in Belarus, former Russian USSR colony. Made it so that their Christmas loot boxes were not able to be purchased in Belgium as well. So first it was Wargaming, and now we have EA, one of the biggest companies out there, doing this. So I think there's going to be lots of questions going forward about, you know, at what point, how many countries will need to step on in order to do this so that it's not going to be an issue going forward in that, you know, if we reach a tipping point, at what point will these gambling boxes just cease being a thing? I don't think we're there yet. I don't think the US will ever do it. I don't think the UK will, nor Canada. But I wouldn't rule out more EU countries doing such a thing.
Be good. I don't know. Canada might, right? They're kind of sane a lot of times.
Well, you see, the issue, though, is a lot of our corporate law is linked towards what you guys do in the US.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, yeah. You know, you might have different offices for corporate Canada versus a corporate US for two different companies, but they function very similarly. So,
and so it, much for that idea.
And it just wouldn't be worth, you know, putting up that much of a wall to have such a huge difference between two markets that are effectively treated as one in most cases. So,
are you talking about a wall, Shane? Are you saying we need a wall?
Yeah, it sounds like what some people want to do.
Between us and Canada? Build that wall.
Yeah, I've actually build heard that before. Wall.
That's a big freaking wall.
Anyways, you know, I'd like to see what some of these EA launches look like in the future. I know FIFA is one, but we talked about the Star Wars game in the past in tech news. So it's going to be interesting to watch. So, all right. I believe that's it for tech news. You ready to move on to some other things?
Yeah, what else do we got, Shane?
Okie dokie.
We got a skill going on? We got a competition?
We're wrapping up the ranging skill of the month for January. We currently have Sorensen, 57 in first place with 60.4 million XP gained. Second place is Jamandy, 52 with 21.5. And third place is CompSci with 5 million XP gained. And, you know, by the time you guys will be hearing this, the February defense skill of the month will be going. So check in for the results of that by the time you're hearing the show, because we are recording this on the 31st of January. All right. So before we go on to achievements, I'll just take a moment to mention a couple of our Informer articles this week. First up, Jagex's 2019 victory strategy that I wrote, and it's basically a conversation starting from what we talked about last week on the podcast regarding mining and smithing, how it wasn't viewed as a victory and they might not do it again. And I went through some of the minor issues that can be changed around at Jagex, and these are all very, very minor things. And the core aspect of it is that with some very minor tweaks in terms of messaging and whatnot, 2019 could be great. We could see things happen that we don't know what would happen. So give that a read at informer.rsbnb.com.
Yeah, that's I highly encourage everyone to read that. It's a good read. And my first thought was, how is Shane not a campaign manager for somebody? And like, no, seriously, that was the first thing I thought. I'm like, huh, he would probably be very good at that. So, yeah.
Well, I don't claim to have all the answers. I don't claim to have answers to actual problems inside the company because I'm not inside. But this is definitely something that looks like could be changed on the outside, and they're all fairly minor changes too. So give that a read, and it flows nicely into the monthly bit as well. So you can see why we're kind of talking about both this week.
So. Yeah.
And aside from that, we also have Sirion's article, The Heart of the Game, talking a bit about game development. And, you know, if the core of your game isn't fun, you're not going to have a good game. And he goes into why prototyping and game jams are so very important. So you can find both of these at informer.rsbnb.com.
Very good.
All righty. What do we got for the achievements this week?
Well, we have Farrar with 99 prayer on January 30th. We have Parnassius with 200 mil constitution. Nice. Love to see those 200s. And Ex Polonia with 99 ranged on January 28th.
Nicely done. We also have Duke Juker with 120 dungeoneering on January 27th. Morovich with 99 mining on January 27th. That one's not surprising there. And Truly a Weeb with 99 smithing on January 24th. So, you know, focusing in around the mining and smithing reworks. So nice to see all these 99s and 120s and even the 200 mil this week. So
yeah.
Good job, everyone.
That's cool. Yep.
All right. So I'm going to move us into our pick of the week right now. And, you know, sometimes on the internet we need to use an image, and we want to put the image on a different background, right? And you can do this in Photoshop, and you can do it in Photoshop relatively quickly if you know what you're doing. But, you know, there's times where it gets a little bit more complicated. Like, for example, if someone has lots of hair, it's going to pose problems, right? Well, there's actually a tool for this. And if you go in your web browser to the website remove.bg, remove.bg, you are going to be able to select a photo. And when you select a photo, what'll end up happening with that is that it will remove the background of that photo. And it can be a complicated background. It doesn't need to be a standard, you know, green background or a blue background, as in some cases. It removes the background completely. And it does a pretty damn good job at it. So if you're watching the demo version of this, or if you're watching the video version of this on YouTube, I just did a demo of the website with a photo that I had in my photos folder. So it even
that's badass, man.
And it was enough to detect the actual background of the photo, but also the chair that the guy was sitting on. And for anyone looking at this, I used a picture of Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, and he was sitting on a chair at a conference, and behind him there was a background with some projected content on it, and it got the background, and it also got the chair removed.
Caution, sick meme each ahead. Watch out.
Pretty much. I mean, if you ever wanted to appear in a RuneScape video and you had a photo of yourself, literally all you need to do is take a photo of yourself anywhere. It doesn't need to be on any background anymore. It can be on some pretty complicated backgrounds, and it'll just remove it.
That's cool.
And there's download options to download the the photo with the removed background of it. And there's even questions and answers about this that, hey, you know, what happens if I upload my image? And, you know, the images are stored for, I think it's only stored for, let's see, how many days was it? Maximum image resolution. So you need a premium subscription to do large images on this, so you do need to pay for it if you want larger. But hey, for anything that we're doing on the internet, 625 by 400 is going to be good enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your images are uploaded through a secured connection. They're then processed, and they temporarily store them so you can download it. And after about an hour, your files are deleted.
This is cool.
Yeah.
This is really cool. You going to have a link to this, Shane?
Yeah, it's going to be in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. And, you know, if for some reason you need the larger image of it, you can pick a plan. You can get a monthly subscription. And, you know, if you want it for personal use, you get 125 image credits per month, or 25 HD images. That's $9 a month. 150 images is $40 a month. And if you want to use this as a professional or business, well, the price goes up a bit to $207.49 per month. But I mean, hey, if you're a business, you can afford this. And if you're doing this daily, you know, you might as well pick a service like this if you don't want to employ a full-time graphic designer, which can be prohibitively expensive. So remove BGs.
I was just thinking of the possibilities, because I take a lot of photos, you know, for what I do.
Right.
So that's a great find. That's a great pick, Shane.
Yeah. And, you know, what makes this so possible is that it's done based on using machine learning, so that they can train their software over time so that it becomes more more smart about what is a background and what isn't a background. And then it's able to refine itself going forward. So that's how they do it. And compare this to if you're using Photoshop, you got to go in there, you got to first remove, do what's called a garbage selection, remove everything, you know, around the person. Then you got to go in and remove all the little contours and whatnot as well. And that just takes time. So this just does it all in one shot.
Yeah, very cool.
All right. Well, that's it for the pick of the week. What you been up to in RS?
I have been trying as hard as I can to not get pulled into this clan XP competition we have for the month. That's culminating with double XP weekend again. And so far I've done pretty good. I try to get drug in to at least, you know, place in the 10th, like in top 10, and I don't think I want to. I really don't, because we're 5 days in, and I think the top person has about 115 mil.
Overall, right?
Overall, yeah. But that is a ton, man. That's a lot of XP in under a week, you know? I am trying to stay clear of that. And but I'm not going to lie, I have been doing some Slayer, because I'm trying to get enough money to buy my the essence I need for Trim Masterwork. So I was doing that for a while, and I actually turned around and started popping bubbles again, because it's better money, it seems like,
popping
for
bubbles?
The time being. Wisp energy.
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
Incandescent, yeah. Popping, yeah, sorry, I call it popping bubbles. They kind of look like bubbles, you know?
Yeah. You know, I agree with that. I did 60 charges yesterday. That's about 3 mil. So
nice. Yeah.
And you know, I think we can all move away from mining and smithing as a moneymaker right now, just because there's so many people doing it. It's become saturated, and we'll be watching that as we progress through double XP weekend. Should provide for some interesting results. I will say that.
Yeah. Or, I mean, at the very least, just hold on to your stuff, because I strongly feel like the ore is going to go up once it's ran. Once
it's
going to go up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else in RS?
No. Just, you know, be safe if you're anywhere in the Midwest right now. it's brutal, man. It's brutal.
You could probably even give Tycho a run for his money.
I think so.
Well, as for me on RS this week, you know, just been doing a few herb runs here and there, and same thing that you said, doing some divine energy harvesting as well. That's still good money, believe it or not. But aside from that, been doing a bit of experimenting with the mining and smithing skill. looking at what we could possibly have for the best XP per hour on this. And I think in terms of efficiently making money with the smithing skill, we're looking at something like Elder Rune Plate Bodies 4, I think. I don't know what those will be going for before double XP weekend, but this past week I just sold two of them for 1.5 mil each. So that's pretty good, I think, for an Elder Rune plus 4 plate body.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I would
say
so.
And then the person finishes it for plus 5 and then makes burial, right? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a question between that or the actual plus 5 on double XP weekend, I think. And in the process of making those, I got the smithing pet.
Oh, nice, Shane. Congrats.
Yeah, cool. 600k XP past 99.
Wow, man, that's lucky. Man, you got some pet luck, man. You got pet luck. I'm telling you. Wow.
And just for comparison's sake, let me actually pull this up just to give everybody an idea of how potentially lucky this is. If we go back to when the pets were released in August of 2017, I believe it was like August 22nd, 2017, I believe, something like that. So if we go back to that date and look at my XP gain in that skill. Since then, I have gained a total of 6.2 million smithing XP.
Wow.
58 million herblore XP, got the pet. 28 million farming XP, got the pet on the first day the pets came out.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But
it's just nuts,
none
man.
Of my skills where I have got pets have been over 10 mil, except for invention and herblore. They've all been under 10 mil.
That's just.
And this was crazy. Was before I had 99s in most of them too. So these were with the 99 thresholds and not the 120 threshold. So.
Yeah, you're lucky, dude. You're really lucky.
Yeah. So I'll take that and just. I guess we can say that's my RuneScape RNG coming to bring me good wealth, except it's in the form of pets.
Yeah, well, hopefully it won't run out when you're trying to get the construction or the hunter. Both of those can be kind of rough. You don't want to go dry on them.
Oh, I don't even want to think about construction pet, so... but no, aside from that, you know, just getting ready for double XP weekend, that's already happening. I plan to make about 2,000 Cerebrus and probably around 3,000 to 4,000 Super Melee potions on that weekend.
Wow. Okay.
And that'll get me 120.
Oh, nice.
And okay. We can kind of finally call it done. So.
There you go.
That's why we're aiming for this. You know, it's time to just bring it home, get it done. I would love to just do 100% Cerebrus, but that would be 7,000 potions, and I'm not sure I can farm an additional 6,000 herbs between now and February 20th. So,
well, if anyone can do it, it'd be you, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, if we assume that the new average is now, I'm going to say the new average is around 90 herbs per run. And it was 7,700, and we've farmed 1,500 so far. We need to farm 6,200 more at 90. That's 69 herb runs. And if I up this to 5 a day, 13 days. So it could be done, actually.
Hop on it, man.
Then the only other manner is finding nests and whatnot. And then, I mean, we can do on average about 1,500 potions an hour. So it's not even like it would be backbreaking work over double XP weekend.
You'd just be cruising.
Yeah. So I might actually do that. I didn't actually do the calculation. I thought, okay, maybe we'll do some combos just to do less time. But I mean, hey, if we can do it all in Toad Flex, that's going to be pure profit at the end of the day. So.
Yeah.
And this is how you make money as a skiller, guys. You don't, you know, throw huge amounts down on overloads unless you absolutely want to. You just do it this way and away you go. So, and, you know, the reason I say this is because if you look up the price of the Toad Flax, which I'm going to do right now, it's still very profitable to make, and even just profitable to buy the seeds and plant them, even if you're not trying to do this. Toad flax seed, currently $16.75 GP. Clean toad flax is $4,900. And you can get around, you know, on average, if you're not using ultra compost and the farmer outfit, you can get around seven per. And that pays for itself right there.
Oh, yeah.
So toad flax are very, very good. But I believe that's it. That's all I have for this week, market advice and otherwise. So unless you have anything else, I think we can call this one a wrap.
That's it for me, man.
All right. So if you guys want to join us in-game, you can find us at Friends Chat Bits Bytes. We're also on Twitter at RSBNB, where you can catch what we're up to and all the various Informer articles and whatnot. The Weekly Bite and all that is all there. Twitter.com/RSBNB. And we'll be back next week to talk about the farmhands. So, with that being said, have a good weekend, everyone.
Take care.